Hello, everybody. My name is Nick Morser, and you're currently listening to Fit Tips, the show all about the ins and outs of the fitness world. Fit Tips, helping you create a lifestyle that works for you. For those of you that don't know, kinesiology is the study of body performance, movement, and function. It is very safe to say that it is an important field in the world of fitness. Today, we are going to talk to a kinesiologist who will help explain it to us. My guest today is Dr. Sabrina M. Prier, an assistant professor of health and kinesiology. Dr. Prier has been a professor at Pierce College for 2 years and has been teaching for 12 years in total. She has also earned her PhD from the University of Chicago Concordia. Dr. Prier, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
How did you get into the world of fitness?
Well, I think sometimes you naturally gravitate to something. And as a child, I was always running up and down. My mother had stories of me doing flips over church pews and running up and down the street with a diaper on. So it kind of seemed as if I were destined to become involved in athletics. And because of that involvement in athletics, it naturally gravitated to where this is something that I really enjoy doing. This is something that I would not mind doing for the rest of my life. And then on top of that, I get to basically work out all day and be healthy so I don't have to carve out additional time. So I just naturally kind of gravitated into it based on how I was as a child. And it's been a great fit. I really enjoy the field. And it's so diverse that I'm able to teach a lot of different students about various aspects of their bodies and health. So I really enjoy it very much.
What athletics did you play when you were a child?
Well, in college, I was a multi-sport athlete in high school, but at the college level, they don't like to share because they scholarship you. So in college, I was basically just a gymnast, and I also played basketball, but it was primarily gymnastics. When I was in high school, I was a real multi-sport athlete where I want to say I had 6 or 7 different varsity letterings in basketball, track and field, cross country, gymnastics. I even wrestled for a semester just to make sure I didn't have to keep going back home every time I got out of school. So I was a real generalist there. But at the collegiate level, I focused on gymnastics. And that was kind of cool because it was back when Michael Jordan was still kind of playing for the Wizards when he made his second comeback. And they would hire out some of the college students to do acrobatics or stunt moves on the concourse. So it worked out really great. I got a scholarship. I got to work at the MCI Center, and we got paid for it as well.
How did gymnastics bridge into kinesiology?
Gymnastics is a very interesting type of sport just for the simple fact that the lifespan of it is so short, and especially if you look at Olympic athletes, you'll notice they're not very old. They probably top out at 20 years old. You're kind of a dinosaur by that age. And so by the time college came around, we're kind of past our glory days at the college level. And by 22, when you graduate, you are truly a prehistoric creature in the world of gymnastics. Unfortunately, because I also went to an underprivileged school where I started gymnastics, we didn't have a lot of the equipment that was necessary to keep people from being injured. And then, of course, tumbling on basketball courts for Michael Jordan and the Wizards and et cetera, it didn't really lend itself very much to a healthy body. So I ended up with a tremendous amount of injuries. And because of that, I was also interested in finding ways that I could prevent further injuries and ways that I could rehabilitate myself for the injuries that I already had so that I would not be in pain for the rest of my life. So in addition to the fact that I love sports, I love athletics, I also value health and functionality through the long span of your life. And this was a great field in order for me to accomplish both.
All right. What challenges did you face when pursuing kinesiology?
My primary challenge, because I don't think a lot of people realize that kinesiology is a science degree. And we would have all sorts of jokes from the bio majors and the real science majors in quotes where, what are you guys doing for your final? You're going to go play golf? And yes, that is part of it. As a kinesiologist or a kinesiology major, many times you do have to know how to participate or teach basically all the major sports because that's what you'll be doing in the school district. And you don't have to be an expert at them, but you need to know how to do that. So we would be out there making lesson plans for different sports, et cetera. But we also had to know how to prevent injuries in all of those sports. We had to know what the prominent injuries were in each one, how to prevent them, how to treat them, how to encourage motor skill development in young kids, especially those who had coordination problems and were accident prone, always falling. And that was challenging because you have to have a solid understanding of anatomy and physiology, and also in some degrees, biology and chemistry. So the science classes were challenging for a lot of the kin majors because we weren't necessarily prepared for that when we went in. Nobody told us that this degree is a science-based degree. So we're sitting in anatomy and physiology with pre-med majors, and they're flying by with the labs, and we're over here looking as if, did we choose the wrong career field? Do we need to go back and change our major to something general ed? So that was a challenge, and I think it really just involved us having to go to tutoring more and making sure that we bundled ourselves with people who really knew the material so that we could also get a strong grasp on it. You know, kinesiology also goes into physical therapy, occupational therapy, athletic training. You need to know what you're doing. You have to have a science background. And so that can be challenging. And that's something that I would encourage people who want to go into this field to do is really know that this area is difficult for the sciences and be prepared when you go in.
When you were taking the classes, at what point did you realize there was a certain field for you?
Well, I always kind of knew that this was a field that I wanted to be in. But when you go through the classes, I think it gives you a deeper appreciation for it, because we often look at things from a surface level. I like doing this. This is enjoyable. I would love to do this for the rest of my life without knowing how much work goes in it. So when we start taking those different classes, it really gives you a true value and appreciation for the body, and also how much the body can take too, how much pressure, how much strength, how strong it is, how resilient our bodies are, where you can live with one lung or one kidney, or you can have muscle atrophy but still continue to do a lot of your activities of daily life. And so that kind of set in for me that this field is fun, it's amazing, it's worthwhile, but I feel like now, in addition to me just enjoying it, I can actually appreciate what it does for the body. So I think those classes really gave me that feeling of true, you know, humility to the field.
Was there a particular kinesiology career that you wanted to pursue?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I majored in as a generalist, so I wanted to teach, and which is what I'm still doing, and I enjoy doing that at the K-12 level. I'd much rather do it at the collegiate level now because patience is not my strong suit, and I think it's safer for everybody's child that I am not at the K-12 level. But I do think that you know, working at that level allowed me to really develop that type of patience, and also prepare me for what I'm doing now.
What are you doing now?
So here at Pierce, I'm back to being a generalist. Whereas, and I kind of halfway answered your question before, my specialty at the undergrad level was general kinesiology. But when I did my doctoral studies, I'm actually a sport management specialist. And here at Pierce, we're all generalists because it's a community college. So I decided I didn't want to work in sport management all the way through just because of the time commitment, and I like kind of working as a teacher. And that's what I'm doing here at Pierce, is really working as a generalist, where I teach a variety of health classes. I teach health 7, 8, and 11, which is health and fitness. I can't remember what the other one is called because we have a lot. And then there's also women's health. And so I teach all three of those at different times during the year, and then also a couple of kinesiology lecture classes. One of them is a personal training class where students can get their certifications through ACE, which is the American Council on Exercise. And then also there is a kin major class, which is extremely popular, not just with kin majors, but also everybody basically here at Pierce, because it also knocks out a prerequisite for those who are trying to transfer over to CSUN or other California State Universities. And that class is an overview of all the different fields of kinesiology, like athletic training, sports management, occupational therapy, recreational therapy, physical education. So it covers all of those, and it helps to give people an understanding of maybe I chose the wrong one, or maybe I'm better suited for this one. So those are the theory classes. Today I had two weight training classes, so that's why I'm nice and sweaty sitting next to you. So I hope you don't mind, but I'll try not to be too offensive. But I also teach many of the sport classes, and that's because they hired me to be the sports person on campus because I was a multi-sport athlete. They were looking for someone who was doing fitness, and they were looking for someone who could do sports, and I was the sports hire. So any sports classes, I'm probably going to teach almost all of them, basketball, soccer, weight training, body conditioning, that because I'm the sports person. So they'll probably get stuck with me if they want to take a class that's sports related.
All right. So the experience made the career.
Kind of both. I think more experience, but then as you get into your career, you can start kind of changing your, making your experiences what you want them to be. Whereas before I was teaching all activity classes and I'm like, I don't think my body can really take this because we can't do the same things we can do when we're 20 that we can in our 30s. And so now as you get more experience, you also start to realize I want to do this for the rest of my life, but I don't necessarily want to do this particular aspect for the rest of my life. And so at Pierce, it's a great balance because I have kind of a 50-50 split to where I don't feel completely run down at the end of the day because I've been on my feet all day, but I still get the lecture component where I can give people, you know, the cognitive value of kinesiology versus just the kinesthetic portion.
All right. You mentioned sports management was your first love, basically. Can you go into that?
Sure. So sports management, I always wanted to be an athletic director in addition to teaching. So I'm from Northern California, and with Northern California athletic directors, they're generally teachers who have partial release time. So instead of teaching six classes or six different units, they'll teach four and then they'll have release time, or three and have release time. And I said, that's great. That's what I want to do, because I had so much admiration for the athletic directors with whom kind of influenced me and worked with me as a student. However, I found that politics is not really my thing. I have a limited amount of patience. When I hear things that don't quite make a lot of sense, I don't tend to want to debate them because I like to preserve time. You don't ever get your time back. You can always make more money. You can't get more time. And so with politics, I found that there's a lot of wasted time, a lot of wasted energy.
What do you think are some common misconceptions about kinesiology?
Well, the biggest misconception, and this is from a fit type of perspective, is that you can exercise most of your weight away. And while exercise is wonderful, and yes, you do need that, exercise, I would say, is more attuned to changing the way your, like, not body composition, but putting on muscle, leaning, toning down, things like that, kind of spot checking. You can put muscle wherever you want to put it. But really, the vast majority of your calories come from you put what you put in or out of your mouth. So even if you're in a sport, it's still totally possible to be unhealthy because you can only exercise so much away. Your body will fatigue. And so I think that has always been one of the biggest misconceptions, is that you can continue to eat what you want. As long as I exercise, I'm going to be healthy. And that's not true. Most of it comes from what you put in your mouth. I would say 80% diet, 20% exercise.
Really? So how do you motivate your students to basically follow that?
Great question. And thank you for asking that too, because sometimes people don't get both sides. They get the come to boot camp or go to the gym and work out, and they never get the nutritional aspect on the other side. So what I do for my classes, and it's difficult because my body gets tired too. I have four activity classes this semester. I get down there and get dirty with them. So if I give them a workout, I may not be able to do the entire workout with them because I'm almost 20 years older than a lot of these students here. And so I may not be able to do the entire workout with them. And I also have four classes, but I'll do half of the workout with them, and then I'll do half of my next class, so I get one full workout instead of two or three in the same day. And that motivates them because they see, number one, I'm older and I'm able to also do it with them. And then it's not someone just blowing a whistle at them, telling them to do an activity. They see me sweating. They see that I'm in discomfort too. And it motivates them to keep going when the person that is giving the instruction is also willing to kind of, you know, sweat with them. So that's one way. The second way is that after the end of every lecture, either the end or the beginning, I always give them a fit tip. And one of the tips that I give them at the beginning of the year is when you're looking to tone down or to put on muscle, whatever it is, cut out one thing from your diet that is detrimental. And the first thing I tell them to do is cut out everything but water, because you'd be amazed at how many calories you drink in a day. Even if it's just, I only drank a can of soda, it's 150 calories in a can of soda. And you can exercise for an hour and barely work that out. So they don't really understand the mathematics between it. And another thing that I try to do for them is give them an actual realistic breakdown of how to lose 1 pound, because it's hard. So a pound is 3,500 calories. And it's easy to put on, because we can eat 2 donuts and get to about 700 calories real easy. And we're wondering, where did this come from? And people are telling the truth when they say they don't know how they're gaining weight, or they don't know how they're not losing it, because a bear claw can run you 700 calories on its own, and a glazed donut 350. So when you look at that, I let them know 3,500 is where you're going to get to a pound. But even if you exercise for an hour, let's say you're on the elliptical machine, and the elliptical machine will say you burned 425 calories in this hour. Yes and no. You burned 425 calories, but you also have to subtract the amount of calories that your body would have burned in that hour doing nothing. Sitting here talking, we're burning calories. So technically, you probably burned closer to about 315 or 25 calories. And then what people do will go, they'll go get a Starbucks. There's 450 calories, not realizing that even though you exercised for an hour, you actually gained weight that day, because your net caloric loss, instead of 425, like the elliptical machine said, minus the 100 you would already burn because you can't double dip, is 325. And Starbucks, even the tall one, is going to have at least 400 calories in it. So you actually gained weight that day, even though you exercised for an hour. And so when I break it down like that, people are saying, oh, I didn't know. And they're telling the truth. They don't know. So in addition to giving them their workout tips, in addition to getting dirty with them, I always give them some information that will immediately benefit them. And I think that is one of the top things that, you know, they really appreciate, is knowing that you can't double dip from caloric losses in an exercise program.
What are the different kinesiology courses, just so that the listeners know what different classes they can take to get these tips?
Mm-hmm. So they can take weight training, which is KIN 350. They can actually take that twice because it's a leveled course. So you can take 350-1 or 2. If you really want to be sneaky, you can do it in the summertime and take 250-2-1, and then you can take it 3 times. You can take weight training. I also have badminton, which is extremely cardiovascular when exercise, when done correctly. I have volleyball. I also have a body conditioning class, which is extremely intense, not recommended for new beginners, but I actually do get senior citizens that class, so we can adapt to whatever, you know, we have. That class is very, very intense. I know they have fitness walking as well. We have so many. Pilates and also yoga. So any of these classes with our professors, they're going to give you the exercise regimens and then also some fitness tips to help you.
Any final advice for our listeners?
Final advice. Sometimes you just got to get up and do it. It's hard to get started. It really is. But small steps. I tell my students, progress, not perfection.
Perfect. Dr. Prier, thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We wish you the best of luck in the future. Again, Dr. Prier is involved with the kinesiology department. You can look her up on the Pierce website, or you can catch her in our office at the end of the North Gymnasium.
Mm-hmm.
For more information, go to kpcradio.com. I want to thank you all for listening. My name is Nick Morser, and you've been listening to Fit Tips. I hope you join me again next time. Have a great day.